Good morning. You are listening to The Beacon. Everybody. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Lainey.
How are you, everyone?
I'm doing fine. I believe I could be described as bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Oh, what a perfect description for you, my friend. You took the words right out of my mouth, except you did not. It's probably not how I would describe you, but you know what? You self-identify. I respect that. I appreciate that. If that's your jam, I'm there for you.
That's one of my jams.
It's one of your jams.
Yes, one of my hits.
I love it. What's going on? How was your week?
My week was pretty good. Hectic, which is not bad. It's always good to have work. And, it was a pretty nice week weather-wise. And so everything is just peachy keen.
I love to hear that.
How about yourselves?
My week was great. Myselves. Plural. Sorry.
I've gotten to the point now where I'm just making up my own language.
Okay.
Excuse me.
I could. I don't know. There could be two or more of me. Who knows? We'll go with it. I went yoga paddleboarding on Sunday.
Yoga paddle? That sounds dangerous.
It's not dangerous. It's not like I'm speeding around.
You're paddleboarding and doing yoga at the same
time? Well, you paddleboard out to a spot, and then you anchor your board, and then you do yoga on the board while you're anchored. And so, yeah, you're doing yoga on a paddleboard. But it was phenomenal. It was something that I love the water. So I'm very at peace on the water, in a boat, on a paddleboard, what have you.
But don't you have to be stable in order to get
into
your
poses? Well, that's the trick. That is the trick. That's where the challenge comes in. So it was for sure challenging. It was very different, which was actually kind of nice because you get very stagnant. You do your yoga practice. It becomes very comfortable. It becomes very familiar. And so it's nice to change it up a little bit. And I had been, this had kind of been 3 years, like, in the making. I had just wanted to do this and was always, asking friends to go. I don't have a whole lot of friends that practice yoga, aside from the yoga teachers that I've become friends with as a teacher now. But just in my own social circle, I don't have a lot of friends that practice yoga, like, close to none. And the ones that do are in California or elsewhere. So I could never find anybody to go with me, and it was kind of one of those things where I never considered just doing it by myself. And this past weekend, it was so beautiful. The weather was pristine, mm-hmm. like mid to high 70s, blue skies. It was so perfect. I didn't have my kids. They were with their dads. So I just decided to go and do it. So on Sunday, I went and registered for the little yoga sup class, stand-up paddleboarding, and went up to Wakanda and got on my little paddleboard and did some water yoga. And it was phenomenal. It just set the tone for them.
A new experience.
What's that?
A new experience.
It was. And it was challenging. I mean, postures that I could get in very easily on solid ground when you've got that little, and the waters were very calm. It wasn't even like it was choppy. I mean, there were some boats that would go by, and so we'd have sort of the wake of the boats that we'd have to navigate through. But beyond that, it was pretty calm. But even still, and yet, just getting into basic postures was like you have to figure out your weight distribution again, because the paddleboard's kind of rocking back and forth, and so you have to distribute your weight more on one side, more on this side.
Did you ever fall in?
I definitely did. And it was all part of the, because after she did the official yoga class, then they give you about 10 or 15 minutes to just play. So you can get into different postures. There's not a lot of actual yogis that were in my group anyway. I think I was probably the only one that had any sort of substantial yoga practice. So I got into a couple of advanced postures and could get there, and then promptly would just get rocked off the paddleboard, which was part of it, you know. It was so fun, and it kind of took the fear away, because when you do inversions, when you're on a hard surface, you kind of have this fear of falling and hurting yourself. But when you're on the water, you just fall in the water. it's just fall in the water, no problem. It isn't. I mean, if you're comfortable in the water, it's not a problem.
No possibility of drowning.
Oh my gosh. I mean, if you can't swim, then no, I don't advise it. But if you're if you can swim and pull yourself back up on your board.
But if you're twisted like that, even if you can, don't you get your equilibrium is out of balance? So if you, even if you can swim, you might not be able to gather yourself in time.
To save your life. You fall into the water, and it takes you a split second to kind of recalibrate so that you know which way is up. But I mean, literally, it's a split second, and then you pop up out of the water and you pull yourself back on your board, and just keep going. That's right.
Well, it's good that you tried that and you went out and did something.
Loved it. You know, there were some people who didn't want to fall off their boards, didn't want to get into the water. So during playtime, they just kind of sat there and bathed in the sun, which, I mean, there's certainly benefits to that as well. So at a good time, it was very transcendent. Ooh, sorry.
Somebody, week your phone is on.
I know. Last week we had issues with yours.
Well, you know, it was just a regular week for me, homework. But I find myself like that movie that Bill Murray was in, Groundhog Day. Living July the 4th over and over again.
Was it July 4th? I don't remember. No, it was Groundhog Day. Oh, you're living July 4th over and over again.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
It's just, they still, where I live, are firing fireworks.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That makes me absolutely crazy. That's when I turn into a very grumpy old lady.
Yeah, so that's my life is stuck in firework land.
Firework purgatory. And of course, it's probably really late at night, like...
Boom!
Right. Cool.
Yeah.
I love it. Thanks so much. I don't like that on July 4th. That even on the holiday, it makes me super cranky. So
yeah.
I've been very fortunate where I live. I've not heard anything. I haven't heard a single thing. Yeah, but I'm very used to, in all my past 4ths of Julys, having the 4th of celebration elongate a week before and a week after the actual holiday.
And there's a representative in Illinois that is trying to get the law overturned where possessing and firing fireworks is no longer illegal in this state.
So they're trying to make it legal, or they're trying to make it illegal?
It's already illegal.
So they're trying to make it legal.
Right. So
come on.
The tax money.
You know what? Just
because
go enjoy.
People go to Indiana to
yes,
buy the.
I know. And it is a cluster. Last year, I spent 4th of July in Indiana with my best friend, and holy smokes, that is, that's a war zone out there. You've got everybody out on the streets lighting off their home fireworks, and it just goes on, and on, and on, like hours into the night.
Well, at one time it was illegal in Indiana too, but then they changed the law, and then. And yeah, this bounty of tax money come in, so.
And now everybody's looking at it going, that's a good idea.
Yes.
Just go enjoy the professional village township fireworks shows and go home. Like, have your barbecue, whatever you're going to do, but there's no need to be setting off fireworks for 2 weeks after 4th of July. And you know, we talked about it last week, but there's a lot of people and animals that are very traumatized by fireworks. So,
that is true.
You know, there should be a modicum of common sense and respect, but you know what? The world we live in today, please, anything goes.
And there are some guide dogs here around the lighthouse that have a negative reaction to loud explosions and loud noises. I know that I've heard from many guide dog owners who have had bad experiences where their dogs just get disoriented and shut down. And not able to function.
Right, right. I mean, we as humans, we can kind of navigate through it, even if it does startle us. We know what's going on cerebrally. We understand it. But dogs don't. You know, dogs don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as far as we know, right? But for the most part, they're just hearing these loud, explosive, scary sounds, and they don't have any context to it. So it's traumatizing.
And if you've had that problem or having that problem, if you go to concerts or if you go to plays and there are loud sounds and you don't know what to do, one person you might consult is Dr. Leonard Jewell. Remember him?
I remember him. Yes. Fondly, yes.
Yes. He's got the Jewell Animal Hospital. And Sandy sat down with him not too long ago. And do you know, he rides a motorcycle.
Oh.
And he plays tennis. That's kind of a strange combination. I don't know if I've seen that.
Tennis and motorcycle riding. Why not?
Yes. And he's going to talk about the free services he provides to dog guide users.
Beautiful.
Yeah, he's going to be on the show today.
Love it.
Then we've got the awe factor.
The awe factor.
And, you know, I'm sitting across from you, and you've got on your glasses. I've got on mine. You look different.
Yes, because I don't wear glasses. I only got these 2 weeks ago. I noticed my nearsighted vision has been, I was trying to read a medicine bottle for my son. This was actually about 6 months ago, and I realized I couldn't read it. Like, I'm doing the whole, like, pulling it back and squinting. That was the first time. I was very cocky about my perfect eyesight.
Did you go to an eye doctor?
I did.
Or did you go to Walgreens and pick one off?
Well, initially I did. So initially, when I first started noticing that my nearsighted vision was a little bit off, I did go to a drugstore and just grabbed a pair. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can see so much better. I didn't even realize that I couldn't see. I couldn't read that well. I didn't realize my eyes were so strained. And
why did you get, what do you call those things that you put in your eye?
Contacts.
Contacts.
Well, because I only need them for reading. I don't need them for, I don't need them for life. I mean, when I drive and when I'm out and about, I'm fine. But even just like the little agenda you handed me today, I'm like, I'm just trying to get used to wearing them more. But I did go to the eye doctor a couple of weeks ago and, you know, did the whole eye exam and everything. And so I got, you know, I have to tell you, I think eyeglasses are the biggest scam on the planet. I mean, you go, like, these things that I'm wearing right now cost, I mean, my insurance paid for them, but they were like $325. I'm like, this is a half ounce piece of plastic on my face.
Shameless
you're gonna charge
plug,
me.
America's best.
Oh my gosh, but I'm criticizing the eyeglass industry right now.
Yeah, but I don't think they charge $300 for their glasses.
Really? Then maybe I'll try America's Best this time. I go to kind of a hoity-toity eye doctor, and I only went there because that's where my son has gone for the last 3 years, which is because it's by the house where we used to live. So, I don't know, maybe it's time to change it up. But I was like, this is like highway robbery to charge this much money for a half ounce piece of plastic on my face.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I digress.
Yeah, but still, we have sight.
We do.
So we have to do the best. But the awe factor, we mentioned that's on tap. We'll find out what's highly recommended. And then Luke Lucky Stiff. Well,
where is he?
He's in Florida.
Oh. For fun?
For fun and for business. 1 week for business, 1 week for fun.
Yeah, that's pretty lucky.
Yeah.
That's pretty lucky.
But I'm thinking, you know, weather hasn't been bad here. So, all in all, but there's going to be a replacement for Luke.
Okay.
He's not going to be in the laboratory today. But there will be someone else to take his place along with Juan Suarez.
It's just a mystery.
You'll find out soon enough.
Oh, we know who it is, but you don't. Okay. Just kidding. We don't know who it is. All right. Sounds good. I just clapped into the microphone. Sorry. I guess that's it, right? Get this party started. Shout out to my brother, who is 40 years old today.
Uh-oh.
Actually, today's Saturday. 40 years old at the time of this recording, which is Thursday. July 12th. 40 years old. I don't know how that happens. But happy birthday to him, because I know he's totally listening right now.
Well, 40 isn't bad. Just wait to, you know, 50 is kind of rough.
Is it? Because I...
Body changes.
That's what
metabolism.
They say about your 40s.
Nah, 40s is still there.
You
still
always look back on the decade before. You always, like, freak out going into the decade, look at the decade before and go, oh, that was so the glory days of my 30s. And then you hit 40 and you're like, ugh. And then when you get to be 50, I guess, I don't know.
Well, you know, Steven Tyler once said, when you get to your 40s, you have to look to your inner 19-year-old in order to be able to continue to function. So
it's a true story, because your body does start breaking down, but your mind is still not, you know, like...
Not there yet.
It's not there yet. You still feel like you should be in your 20s, but then I get around 20-year-olds, and I'm like, nope, definitely not in my 20s anymore. And that's quite A-okay with me.
All right. Well, let's get this party started, as you said.
Did I say that?
Yes, you did. You in pink. And
we'll have
Dr. Leonard Jewell on the other side of this break. Thank you for tuning in. I said that to the
mammogram tech the other day.
What's that?
Let's get this party started. She got a kick out of it. It's my catchphrase, apparently. Go ahead. I'm sorry I interrupted you. Please get this show started.
And what was I going to say? Oh, thanks for joining us this morning, everyone. I hope you're enjoying your coffee, your breakfast, whatever you have. You're listening to The Beacon here on WCPT, 820 AM.
The Lighthouse Endowment Campaign is an ongoing campaign to help secure the future of the Chicago Lighthouse for the 67,000-plus patients, clients, and families that utilize our services each year.
Being a veteran here, I think, has helped me. I could not see, because this is why I initially was brought here by a counselor from the VA, because like they collaborate with each other and help us to get our vision better. When I first walked in here, I didn't know the life of a blind person. I actually didn't know. And when I came here, I walked through the door and I could see how people were so, you know, they act like they could see. And it was so inspirational to me. I cried like a kid when I first got it, because I was overwhelmed to see how people can deal with blindness, you know. And the Lighthouse really, really has helped me with a lot of things, because I've learned to be more knowledgeable about computers. And they have an exercise class that they teach us how to exercise. So every fourth Friday of the month, we have a luncheon where all the seniors meet. We sit there and talk about different events and different things. And my greatest passion right now is being on the radio, reading to the blind. That's my greatest passion. I really love that. Number one is to be able to give back to people that can't see, because I was overwhelmed. And I promise God within myself that I will do this until I cannot see again. This is my greatest passion in my life.
Historically, our endowment fund has helped maintain critical programs on the verge of shutting down, preserve jobs in times of economic stress, and meet the growing demand for vision care services among America's aging population. To make a contribution, please contact Jennifer Miller, 312-997-3643.
Today I am joined by a very special guest. He has been on The Beacon before and is also a supporter of the Chicago Lighthouse, The Beacon, and the community of people with vision loss. He's a great veterinarian, but just from the few minutes that I've talked with Dr. Jewell, and it sounds like he's an awesome human as well.
Oh my goodness.
Dr. Jewell, thank you so much.
I'm blushing.
I saw that, Dr. Jewell. Believe it or not. No, but that was what we call a blind joke, I guess, if you will. No, but Dr. Jewell, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's an honor.
Great. Dr. Jewell, he is the founder of Jewell Animal Hospital up in Chicago's North Side. And Dr. Jewell, I know that you were with Bill Jurek. He interviewed you several years ago.
Yeah. I want to, you know, offer my condolences for your loss of Bill. He was an awesome guy.
He was. He really was.
Yeah.
You know, we've got not big. We've got huge shoes to fill here on The Beacon, on Chris in general.
Yeah. I mean, that interview was really neat. I actually, shortly after the segment aired, a friend of mine came up to me and like, I heard you at 6 o'clock in the morning on Sunday. Oh my God. Uh-huh. And I'm like, Does anyone get up at 6 a.m.
right.
on Sunday morning?
Well, apparently some people did, just to listen to you, Dr.
Oh, goodness.
So how long ago did you found Jewell Animal Hospital?
Well, Jewell's been around for now 11 and a half years,
okay.
believe it or not.
Oh.
Can you believe that?
Wow, 11 and a half.
One of my friends started her animal hospital about 25 years ago.
Sure.
Dr. Margaret Walsh at Beverly Hills Animal Hospital. I love you, Dr. Walsh. You are the best lady I know. Anyway, she had her place open for 10 years, and I had worked relief at her place. And she said, you know, now I've seen puppies being born, seen them through their lives, and I've euthanized them, mm-hmm. and I've gone full cycle in that relationship with them and with their owners, and now I have experienced that as well, mm-hmm. and again, transformative. It has transformed me. One of the things I really, really wanted when I opened Jewel Animal Hospital was I wanted to develop long-term relationships with people.
Sure.
As an adoptive person, I don't like to get close to people. I have trust issues. And I wanted to, the work that I was doing was relief veterinary work, so I'd go around to different animal hospitals on a contract basis. But I wouldn't stick around, and I wouldn't develop relationships. But here at Jewel, I have developed some of the deepest, most profound relationships with people and animals that I could not have imagined, and it has enriched my life, and it has been like a God-given pleasure. I feel so lucky that I've been given this gift. It's amazing.
Wow, that's great. Dr. Jewel, I know that you offer your services free of charge to guide dogs.
Yes.
Why did you decide to offer these services?
I think sight-impaired people are some of the most profoundly courageous people I know. The idea of walking out onto the streets of Chicago through your front door alone and without sight is a terrifying proposition. And it takes a person of amazing courage. If I can help the companions that get people out, give them their freedom, and open doors and vistas, you know, that would normally be closed, I'm going to do that. And so by keeping these guide dogs healthy and available for our human companions is everything to me.
And you know that's so beautiful, Dr. Jewel, because I myself have many friends who are blind or visually impaired, and they'll tell me, you know, I would like to get a guide dog, but you know, I'm afraid about the veterinary expenses, that might be too expensive for me. So that's wonderful that you took that initiative to offer these services free of charge.
Yes. Yeah. I can't believe I did it either, because honestly, I'm not the I'm a pretty selfish person,
right?
Sometimes, you know, and so I'm amazed that I actually did that too.
Yeah. Wow, the dog stole your heart, huh?
Yeah.
That's what it was, guide dogs.
And some of the guide dogs.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like souls from heaven. And we want more.
That you want
Please
more, huh?
Bring your sight dogs to us. And also, we also have a deal where if you have, if a blind or sight impaired person has a second pet that is not working, it's 20% off of everything. And not only does that include like vaccines,
sure.
And heart guard and flea protection and all that other stuff, but it's everything. You don't pay a cent for dental cleanings, for any kind of soft tissue surgery. I mean, we do it all here.
Mm-hmm.
We do it all at Jewel, except orthopedic surgery.
Sure.
We have to send you out.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
To a different facility.
Yeah, again.
And I know that the blind individuals and the guide dogs, they truly appreciate what you offer.
It's a perfect symbiotic relationship, and we're going to support that relationship and make it stronger here in Chicago.
Well, thank you so much, and I want to thank you on behalf of all of the guide dogs you have service.
Oh, no problem. It's our pleasure.
Now, for anyone that would be interested in taking their guide dog, where is Jewel Animal Hospital located?
Jewel Animal Hospital is in a little, is in a cute little neighborhood called Lincoln Square.
Sure.
It's just off the lake. Between Melrose and Lawrence.
Okay.
It's our address is 4501 North Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
We're at the corner of Lincoln Avenue and Sunnyside, across from Wells Park and across from the library. So we're easy to find. We're open 6 days a week, closed on Sundays. But please come bring your guide dogs to us, bring your cats to us, bring whatever you have. The number at Jewel is 773-271-1901. It's jewelanimalhospital.com. Please come see us.
Great. Well, is there
anything? And Jewel is with two L's, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people are tempted because of the Jewel food store
right.
to write J-E-W-E-L,
sure.
But it's J-E-W-E-L-L.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes, yes. And it's not the French physicist Jewel, J-O-U-L-E. No, it's not that. It's J-E-W-E-L-L.
Well, good. That's great that you clarified that, so that people they can find you.
See, my mother, who knows I have a really big head, she would be in here with a baseball bat and knock me right over my head right at this moment.
Oh man, that is too funny.
Yeah.
So, is there anything else you'd like to share with our audience, or anything that I might have forgotten to ask?
Well, I mean, I want to get more people in with sight dogs. Wherever you are, bring your animals to Jewel Animal Hospital. We want you. We want to help you. We want to help foster your relationship with your guide dog.
Great.
And we do it all for free.
That's great. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Jewel.
Today, the unemployment rate for veterans is at an all-time high, and these brave men and women need our help. To meet this challenge, Paralyzed Veterans of America created Operation PAVE, an employment assistance program for any veteran at the Hines VA in Chicago. Through a partnership with Agility DGS, these services are provided free of charge. Hiring more veterans is great for business and great for our nation. To learn more, visit OperationPAVE.org. A public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
I feel like it's all on my shoulders. How am I going to take care of my parents if they develop an eye disease like glaucoma? Glaucoma is the leading cause of blindness in African Americans and Hispanics in the United States. And what about my kids? Will they inherit it? Not to mention my risk factor. I'm really concerned and I need some answers.
Call 1-800-437-2423 or go to ahaf.org for answers, including a free brochure on glaucoma.
And welcome back, everybody, to the Begin. I'm Bright Hawkins with this young lady.
Lainey Kleeman.
Yes.
Oh, you confused me with a young. But thank you. I'll take it.
I did notice the pause there, young, talking about, but you have wearing glasses now.
I know. I can't see anymore, my friends. The process of elimination. I'm the only one in here, so.
Oh, you know, we haven't talked about in a while is the lighthouses on the Mag Mile. And they're out there, folks. It's a public art display celebrating access and inclusion for people with disabilities and featuring more than 50 6-foot lighthouse sculptures created by national and local artists, many with disabilities along Chicago's magnificent mile. So you want to get out there and look at those because they truly are wonderful. And they're going to be on North Michigan Avenue and in that particular area until August 11th. So you want to get out there. And, you know, if you see something that you like to have to put out in your garden, in your yard, and, you know, we have one here at the lighthouse, obviously, that's in the area where the children play. and it looks kind of good, I think.
I'll have to check it out. I don't know if I've noticed that.
And yeah, so if you like, after you've seen it and you've seen them, and there's one that you particularly like, you can put a bid out for it, because it's going to be an auction. They're going to auction them off. And if you'd like to be able to register to be notified when the auction begins, you can go to Chicago Lighthouse website and just search for Lighthouses on the Mag Mile. It's easy to find. And you can sign up for that, and we will notify you. And it's sponsored by the Chicago Lighthouse in partnership with Huber Financial Advisors, LLC, and other visionary businesses and individuals. So, yeah, just wanted to remind you of that.
And, thank you. Maybe I'll get out there this weekend. I think I have a free Saturday with my little son this weekend. So maybe we'll take an excursion downtown and check him out and hit up the Nutella Cafe while we're down there, because I'm excited about that.
You're not going to the Taste?
No, I'm not. Not a big Taste fan. They don't have a whole lot of options for vegans either, and it's hot and crowded, and you know how I feel about that.
Oh, yeah.
You know me, my introvertedness.
Well, one day I'll have to tell you about the very first Taste of Chicago.
Ooh.
Which wasn't called Taste of Chicago at the time.
What was it?
There's a whole history. It was Chicago Fest.
Ooh. Yeah. I like Taste of Chicago better. It's more interesting.
Well, Chicago Fest was more interesting.
Oh, really?
Well, only because it was a whole big thing. It was over on the Navy Pier, and there were several stages for bands to play.
Ooh.
And, of course, you could go ahead and get things to eat and the whole thing, and it was a lovely affair, but because politics got in the way and things got switched around and morphed into what it is now, which is still very nice, but...
How long has the Taste, or the beginning of the Taste, the roots of the Taste, how, like, when was the first one?
I think it had to be in the late 70s.
Oh, really? That long ago?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think it started with the Mayor Byrne administration.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well before my Chicago time.
Yeah.
Decades before.
Mm.
But that's great. That's nice that it endured decades of
success. It's gone through
success.
Lots of changes. But,
sure. Yeah, I mean, but it has to. Everything needs to evolve with time.
Right.
You know, if it's the same thing, it becomes stagnant and stale and people lose interest. So keep it moving, Taste of Chicago. Good for you.
All
good
right.
On ya.
And
yeesh.
Now we've set the stage for... if I had a snare here, I would do a drum roll.
Thank you. Thank you.
And
thank you.
Just imagine everyone, a drum roll right there. And she's stretching now, warming up, getting ready.
Literally. He's not kidding. All right, I'm ready. Let's do this thing.
Let's do the awe factor.
Thank you, my friend. Hillary Harris spent years searching the internet to find Don Johnson. Until fate stepped in a big way. And by the way, that's Don Johnson, D-A-W-N, not Don Johnson of Miami Vice fame. Just to clarify. Adopted as a baby, Hillary only found out she had a half-sister after reading her adoption file as an adult. And there, she discovered that her sibling's name was Don Johnson. So Hillary trawled the internet, as we do these days, social media, trying to find clues and reconnect with people we've lost touch with, and hundreds of Facebook pages hoping to find any Don Johnsons who might look like her, but found no one. So imagine how many Don Johnsons there are on Facebook. I'm sure there are hundreds and hundreds, and she's just going based on somebody who might look a little bit like her, which, as a half-sibling, may or may not be the case. So last year, Hillary was amused when coincidentally a woman named Dawn moved next door to their home in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. So kind of a local story. Harris joked to her husband that even though her new neighbor was 20 years older, that the woman living next door was her long-lost sister. They had a good laugh, but Hillary was still curious and couldn't shake the feeling that it might be her. Newsflash, it was her. But after 2 months of peering through the window to catch glimpses of this woman, the universe interceded. A large shipment of roofing shingles was left in the shared driveway between their homes, and on the label was a big red hand-drawn you know, note that said it was for Dawn Johnson. Hillary hadn't known her last name up at that point. She knew her first name was Dawn, but she did not at that point know her last name was Johnson. So she said she was floored. She called her husband right away, said her last name is Johnson. That's Dawn Johnson. It's got to be her. It's just got to be. But introverted and afraid of prying open some family secrets, it took her a little bit of time to muster up the courage to say something. She finally texted Dawn for the first time and asked about a tidbit that was in her father's obituary. So it didn't come right out and proclaim that they were sisters, but asked if she was the loyal Cornfest queen in 1983. So apparently in her father's obituary, there was mention of a daughter who was the loyal Cornfest queen in 83. So Dawn texted back. Of course, she affirmed that she was the loyal Cornfest queen in 83. And so Hillary started screaming. It was insane. So they shared a phone conversation filled with laughter and tears. Dawn showed up at Hillary's house the next day with flowers in her hand and photos of their shared father and said, "Hi, sis." So the two of them had made a connection last year. They've been virtually inseparable. In addition to talking every day and living only a few yards apart, Hillary's 5-year-old daughter often goes over to her new aunt's house for sleepovers and playdates. Harris says that they have decided to share their story because it's just such a great story and to show that anything is possible and it's never too late to search for family. So she says, "I know a lot of people struggle with adoption and finding their biological families, but I want to tell them not to give up. Keep looking, look everywhere, go look next door. You don't know what you'll find." So that's this week's The Awe Factor.
This warms the cockles.
It warms the cockles. It makes you feel warm and tingly inside. The universe is very small. I actually, this week, yesterday, in fact, had a very universe is small incident happen in my life. And it's not a great story because it involves people I would rather not be connected to. But it was very... It was very, very odd. There's people in my life who I would prefer to not be connected to, and because of my geographical, you know, moving, I thought that there would kind of be that those ties would be severed, and come to find out that they have a very close relative who is the principal of the school where my daughter will be attending next year.
Wow!
Which I'm like, of all the schools in all the world.
It's like Godfather Part 3.
Is
every
it?
Time you try to get out, they pull you back in. Yes.
Pull you back in. So there's some good universe of small stories and some not so good universe of small stories, but you still kind of have to marvel in the wonder of it all. So that is this week's The Awe Factor, friends.
Well, that's just lovely. Thank you for that.
My pleasure.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back, and I guess we'll find out what's highly recommended this week.
On the edge of my seat.
The Lighthouse Endowment Campaign is an ongoing campaign to help secure the future of the Chicago Lighthouse for the 67,000-plus patients, clients, and families that utilize our services each year.
Yeah, I have an undergrad from DePaul Computer Information Systems and a master's in Business Information Technology. And I know I have a disability, and it can be challenging trying to get a position. You know, they want to hire someone with a disability. So that was one of the challenges I had also. Going to a job interview and people look at your strength because you have a disability. I've gotten frowned at. They'll say, "We'll call you," or "We'll consider," but it never happened. The Lighthouse has provided me with employment. I've been here since 2013, November. I've grown. I transitioned from Illinois Tollway to UI Health. The Lighthouse is awesome. They really work with people with disability, visually impaired, and veterans, get employment, you know, find employment, because the percentage of people with disability is unemployed is extremely high. People that have degrees and they still can't find a job. So the Lighthouse is very supportive in helping them find employment. One word, I say awesome.
Historically, our endowment fund has helped maintain critical programs on the verge of shutting down, preserve jobs in times of economic stress, and meet the growing demand for vision care services among America's aging population. To make a contribution, please contact Jennifer Miller, 312-997-3643.
Good Saturday morning, everyone, and welcome to It's Highly Recommended. I am Sandy Murillo.
I am Brett Shishkoff, and I am back. I have a couple things that I want to talk to all of you about, and Sandy's going to help kind of guide me along with maybe some questions that pop up.
Yeah, so first of all, where were you on vacation, Brett?
I went down to the St. Louis area. We ended up going to a little small town called Innsbruck. It's like a resort town down west of St. Louis. So,
and I know that you made a stop at the, was it the Illinois?
It was an Illinois State Museum. It's in Springfield. Mm-hmm. I didn't really know that this museum actually existed, but it was actually quite fun.
Yeah.
My sister did help kind of guide me around and explain to me what was around the first level you come in. There's lots of, like, animals that would be in this area, so it's like a natural museum, nature museum, that type of thing when you first walk in. And so it kind of talks about the history of Illinois,
sure.
Even like where Illinois used to be, maybe it was millions of years ago.
Interesting.
And so you actually realize that if all of us remember back in the day, this big supercontinent, when all the continents were together before they kind of broke apart, well, Illinois used to actually be like right on the equator.
Really?
Yeah, way back.
Oh, wow.
Way back when.
Way, way, way back when.
And so
I certainly don't remember those days.
We spent a lot of time underwater, so Illinois was underwater for a good portion of the time.
Yeah.
And then it became kind of a swamp area, and so it was just kind of interesting just to see, like, the progression of Illinois through Earth's history. What was nice about this museum is they actually didn't have anything known as like an audio tour like you have at like the art museums here in Chicago.
Okay.
But you do have, like, at each station, I would say a majority of them had kind of like a telephone receiver. You'd put it to your ear, and there was a card that you would slide, kind of like a credit card thing that you would slide your credit card through.
Sure.
But they have the cards that are, like, attached by some type of chain or rope, and you slide it through the machine, and then all of a sudden through the receiver you actually have somebody from the museum who's actually describing what you're looking at. So now
is it a pre-recorded description?
It is a pre-recorded description, yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So you do have that accessibility for the blind and visually impaired that's there. I was on the first level that we went through all of this. I didn't get to the second level. I had my niece and nephew who were with me, and they wanted to go down to the basement, which actually had, like, a fun play area.
Sure.
That had a lot of the things from the museum that they could interact with, like if they wanted to dig up fossils or stuff like that. So if you wanted to go, say you are traveling down 55 and you're looking for something fun to do with the kids that's also educational, this would be a really, really good spot to stop at. I do want to kind of also recommend there's a great brewery down there that we stopped at that's a restaurant. It's Ides Brewing Company, and that's just right down the street from Illinois State Museum. The root beer is awesome. That's what I had. But they also had some really good pretzel bread, their appetizers. We had a couple different ones, but the pretzel bread was what stuck out to me in the appetizers, and then I shared some of my mom's, like, barbecue burger, which was good. So they have really good food. If you're looking for some, probably the best root beer I've ever had, I'm a big root beer connoisseur. But we also went to the St. Louis Museum. It's a free museum down in St. Louis. So if you're down in that area and you're looking for something cheap or free to do, the St. Louis Museum is a good one. It seemed, well, at least what I saw of it, we were there, it was 100 degrees, and Poet got sick. So guide, unfortunately, was having trouble with the heat.
Sure.
100 degrees is hard for anything and anybody, especially a big furry ball of love known as Poet.
Very much so.
But we enjoyed the penguin exhibit. That was kind of cool. My mom was describing a little bit what was going on, and they also had, like, a bear exhibit where someone was actually out there talking about the different bears that the zoo has to offer, what they eat. So there was, you know, it was kind of over a big speaker that anyone could hear. So they did have some stuff that you could interact with, some things you could put your hands on. They have a petting zoo there as well.
Sure.
Kind of similar to Lincoln Park Zoo.
So I know that you said that the St. Louis Museum that had free admission. How about the Illinois State Museum?
The St. Louis Zoo has free admission. The Illinois State Museum is $5 per person.
Okay.
And then children and seniors are free.
No, I think overall the museum, it sounds very fascinating.
Yeah, you have been listening to It's Highly Recommended with Brett Shishkoff.
And Sandy Murillo.
And we will be right back with more Lighthouse Beacon after this.
Hi, everyone. This is Alex Trebek, the host of Jeopardy. If your question is, how can someone who is blind enjoy the latest magazine writing and not have to pay a penny? Then the answer is Choice Magazine Listening. Every other month, we'll send you hours of stimulating, unabridged articles, short stories, and poetry from writers such as Russell Baker, Derek Walcott, Joyce Carol Oates, Bill Moyers, and Margaret Atwood. These free special speed cassettes are sent to anyone unable to read because of physical limitations. If you're interested, write today to Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. We'll also tell you how to get the necessary free Library of Congress talking book player. So write Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. Or call 516-883-8280. That's 516-883-8280. Thank you.
Welcome back to The Beacon. I'm Lainey Kleeman.
And I'm Brian Hawkins, sitting across from her.
Yes, yes, you are. You thought I was Sarah Palin earlier today. Yeah. You didn't think I was Sarah Palin. You glanced up, saw me in my glasses for the first time ever, and was like, whoa, you had a whoa moment.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to attribute that to the fact that you recently saw her face on the computer, not moments before you sat down across from me. So that's what I'm attributing that to.
Right. So actually, the truth of it is the glasses resemble Sarah Palin's glasses.
That could be it.
Yes. And they were just on your face, and I just seen that. So that's what that was.
Okay. Okay. No, I get it. I get it.
Took me a little time to process, but eventually it comes through.
It did come through. You are not sitting across from Sarah Palin.
Mm-hmm.
Not today. All right, well, we're heading into Luke's laboratory, although our friend Luke Scriven is out of state as we speak. He's in Florida for pleasure and business, hopefully more pleasure than business. So we hope he's having fun there.
Well, he's gone for 2 weeks, so he's having a week of each. So hopefully,
fair enough.
Equally of each. But he'll be able to come back and report on part of his...
The business part of it.
But he'll probably talk about all of it.
Knowing Luke, you know what?
He's a motorcyclist now. So.
Oh, now? That's recent?
Know. Yeah.
Oh.
He's got a little motorcycle thing, but...
Good for him?
And yeah, you know, well, he's a rock and roller, plays in a band, so...
There's all kinds of things about Luke I never knew.
Well...
There we go.
We've got to pull it out of him.
We're all interesting.
Got to talk to him.
Love it.
But we don't know exactly who he has chosen to appear in his stead. But I guess we'll find out as we swiftly go to Luke's laboratory, minus Luke, with Juan Suarez and someone.
Mystery guest.
I'm Juan Suarez. And this morning we are in with Miss Ann Kelly from our Adaptive Technology Store. And she's filling in for Mr. Luke Scriven right here on Luke's laboratory. Good morning, Ann. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Ann has a very exciting new product that we're talking about today. It's called the...
Sunoband.
And what does it do?
Well, I'm going to start with talking about bats. And you might say, bats. How are bats related to the Sunoband? So currently our technology relates to magnification along with voice. So there is a newer technology out there that animals use. Bats, dolphins, whales. And that's called sonar technology. So basically, this band is like a Fitbit for the blind. You wear it around your wrist, and as you're walking around or moving, it is going to be vibrating. To the waves go out, they contact an object, and then they're bounced back. So basically, bats have good vision during the day, but they are pretty much blind at night. And how do they navigate? How do they not bump into trees and catch all their insects? It is through the same technology.
Oh, that's pretty awesome. So what exactly is it detecting? Is it detecting things in front of people who are visually impaired, above them? How does it exactly work?
That's a great question. They can detect objects all around you. So if there's a person in front of you or a tree branch, if you're walking along with somebody behind you. So it's just going to listen to the sound waves as they bounce back and forth. And there's a close mode and a distance mode. So it's between 2 and 4 meters. So it's just great, new technology. And it won an award at the Perkins Assistive Technology Conference, the Mass Challenge. So the website is suno.io. So you can check it out. And again, a lot of people use canes and other things to navigate, but they only detect part of what's around you. And if you're also hearing impaired, it's really great just to use this because sometimes then the voice products don't work. So you don't have to worry about voice. You don't have to worry about sight. You're just being guided by taps from a wristband.
That's pretty awesome. I think that's obviously going to help everybody who is visually impaired. And also, you said some people with hearing loss as well, correct?
Right.
Okay. All right. And are we doing any also, oh, I'm sorry, let's also talk about, is there anything else you'd like to add to about the product?
Well, right now we're just waiting for more information. And I just wanted to let you know that at the Chicago Lighthouse, you can come in for an appointment, and you can just schedule one with us and sit down and learn about all the new products that are out there, all the technologies. We do ask that you call for an appointment, and there's no charge for those appointments. A lot of people just aren't aware what's out there, or they might have been using the same technology for too long and haven't really explored the newer ones.
And our number, of course, for our Tools for Living store is 312-997-3683. That's 312-997-3683. And, of course, and they can reach you at, what's your email?
ANNE.Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, at ChicagoLighthouse.org. My phone number is 847-510-2066.
And with that, it's time for this week's
Customer of the Week.
All right.
I was trying to do that with a British accent. Okay. I'll have to do the Irish brogue, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so my Customer of the Week is an interesting scenario. His name's Ken. And what I liked about Ken is he said, call me every time that you get a new device that will help me read better. He loves technology, he's very enthusiastic, and anything that helps him read, which is his passion, is good for him. So Ken came in, and he ended up purchasing two devices, which are called smart glasses. So there are glasses with computers built in. And he purchased the Iris Vision, which has been featured before. It uses VR technology, and he loves those for being able to see and read. They have the widest field of view available, along with intense color, so great color. Ken was going on a vacation, and he took both of them with him. The other pair he purchased were the Orcam, the new wireless Orcam, and they are glasses with a camera mounted on them that will read text back to him wirelessly. So he can use the Iris Vision for zooming in and magnification, and the Orcam for OCR, for reading. So between those two devices, he was able to meet all of his needs and have a great trip because he didn't want to miss any of the mountains, the scenery, the people, their facial expressions, and he had a great trip.
All right. And that's this week's Customer of the Week. And, of course, this week we've been talking with Ann Kelly. She is part of our adaptive technology team here at the Chicago Lighthouse. And for more information, you can reach her at?
You can call me at 847-510-2066. We also have our next roadshow coming up August 29th, and that's in Wheeling Township.
Okay. All right, Anne, thank you so much for filling in for Mr. Luke Scriven. That does it for this week's Luke's Laboratory. I'm Juan Suarez. Join us again here next week right here on The Beacon.
This is the story of Daniel, who was born 2 months early. His lungs weren't ready. His heart wasn't ready. His parents could only hope that one day he would leave the hospital healthy, and they would all live happily ever after. Daniel's is just one of the more than 500,000 stories of babies born prematurely last year. You can help the March of Dimes stop premature birth and bring more babies home healthy. Learn how at marchofdimes.com. Working together for stronger, healthier babies.
Welcome back to The Beacon. We are wrapping up the show.
Yeah. You know, last week you couldn't get enough.
I know.
Of the show. And
I personally couldn't get enough of
the show. Yeah, you felt like there should be more.
Oh, I did. Yeah, I did. I felt like we were cutting things off a little too early. Now I'm anxious. I'm running out the door. Get this thing in the can and move along.
And of course, I was half asleep. If I had not been, I would have reminded you and everybody that you can go to the Chicago Lighthouse website, specifically the Chris Radio page, and you can go to all of the shows that are posted there. And if you know someone who's visually impaired who misses the newspapers, the local papers, they also can listen to Chris Radio. And all they have to do is go to that same page and click on where it says Listen Live, and boom! There it is.
We're there, baby.
Yeah.
Lovely. Well, thank you for all that very valuable and insightful information. And many thanks to our president and CEO of Chicago Lighthouse, Dr. Janet Slick, for all she does to keep us on the air as well.
Janet P. Slick.
Janet P. Slick. Really? What does P stand for? Patricia?
I have no idea.
Penelope?
Maybe one day.
We'll get the courage to ask her what the P stands for from the guy who has no middle name.
Exactly.
See, I remember. Mm-hmm. I remember.
That's why it's so fixed in my mind, I guess.
Can imagine. I can imagine. It's like middle name envy or something. All right. Anyway, have a wonderful week. Stay cool. Take care of each other. Check in on each other if the weather gets a little bit wonky. And we will see you same time, same place next week. Have a great week.